This is Mr. Joe Durham at McDonough School on April the 24th, 2003.
So, Mr. Durham, how did you get into the major leagues and baseball in general?
Well, first of all, before we get started, I'd like to have everybody real loose here, you know, because I was looking around the class and I thought Ms. McKenna was a senior here, but I found it differently. Another thing to keep you loose, how many of you have dogs? Anybody have a dog? I'm very fond of dogs, but there's one dog I despise, and that's a pit bull. I knew a man who had a pit bull, a gray one, and called him Smoke. And every time he saw somebody with a dog, get him, Smoke. Smoke, you know how strong pit bulls are. Just wear a dog right down to the ground. So one day, the little fella comes skipping up the street with a brown dog, beady eyes and no tail. A yellow dog, matter of fact. And the old man laughed at him. That's a funny looking dog you got there, son. But I don't care. Get him, Smoke. Smoke jumps on this dog. This dog beats Smoke all over the place. He's gasping for air. And finally they get apart. And he wants to say, son, what kind of dog is that? He says, I don't know. Before I painted him yellow and cut his tail off, he was an alligator. So you got to be careful. So what you do? So I may be an alligator here today. Now let's get to your question.
All right. So what made you enter Major League Baseball and baseball in general?
Well, it wasn't easy to get in. I was in school. I was a sophomore in college. And my ex-high school coach called me, asked me would I like to try with the St. Louis Browns. You know, they had a camp down in Thomasville, Georgia. And if I made it, you'd be signed to a contract. Now, I'm giving up my scholarship and my education at that particular time to try at something that I had never dreamed of playing or never getting into. So I accepted and I went down to Thomasville, Georgia. There was 174 people there and they kept four and I was one of the four that they kept and I got a contract. And for the next 16 years I was somewhere playing, you know, back and forth.
What do you think was the best experience of your baseball career?
My best experience?
Yeah.
Well, getting up there, you know, signing that first contract, that's quite an experience. And then being able to travel and meet people from all over the United States, and I mean all kind of people, playing with some players from nice schools, schools like Stanford and Dartmouth. You got an education right there because they see things in a different light than you may have seen them. Back in my day, everything was in turmoil. And just to be traveling around and watching people in different sections of the country, how they perform, you know, was a great thing to do, nice thing to do.
How about the worst experiences?
The worst experience.
Like, what would you think is the worst thing about?
Some of the worst experiences that, back in those days, which a lot of you don't know anything about, but segregation was a big thing back in those days. And several times you've been threatened by coming to the ballpark, or if you do, something may happen to you that's very drastic. Being turned away and with your teammates, they can go certain places, you can't go, or I couldn't go. And baseball is a family game, and to play it at your top level, it has to be a family. Everybody has to meet right there and melt into one, be one person as a team. And when you find it all day, I don't see the rest of my teammates until it's ball game time. I mean, at the ballpark, it's hard, you know. And you're young and you're traveling all over in strange places. That was the worst experience I had, but something that I had to deal with and it didn't bother.
Who's your favorite player to play with?
Favorite player to play with? I played with so many guys. From the Orioles, probably Brooks Robinson was probably the favorite. Rich and I came along about the same time. I was a little ahead of him, but he's one of the genuine, nice people. You just don't find people like this every day. He's a gentleman in all phases of the word gentleman. So I would say Brooks Robinson.
Wow. So why was your nickname Pop?
My grandfather gave me that name, a soda. He's called Soda Pop. And I always loved sodas. And I used to drink those 16-ounce jobs when I never bothered the Coke, because Coke used to come in a little 6-ounce bottle. So I would get the big bottle of 12-ounce or 16 ounces, and I could down one of those in a hurry. So he started calling me Pop. And that name just stuck with me throughout. Back home, now, if somebody called my house and asked to speak to Pop Durham, I know he got to be from Newport News, Virginia. They still call me Pop back there.
How do you feel about the major leagues today as compared to when you played?
Well, I tell you what, I would like to be playing today with all the money they're throwing around. I think early on we discussed some of the things money-wise. When I came up the big leagues, the minimum salary was $5,000, which was pretty good money in those days. The minimum today is $300,000, with an extra $100,000 to be made in signing autographs and stuff for different companies and whatnot. You can make an extra $100,000. But you take that $5,000 that we made, or I made at that particular time, it can go a long ways, a long ways. My first automobile was a brand new Oldsmobile. I paid $3,165 for it. You see, gasoline running, we had gas wells on things, 16, 17 cents a gallon. you can't do that today. Go into a restaurant and have a great meal, a big steak in those days, $2.50 was a lot of money to pay for a steak dinner. Unless you went to some real fancy place like Ruth Chris. Anybody been to Ruth Chris? I don't suggest going there anymore. I went there 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Wife and I, and dinner for two, $112.60. And the tips got to come out of it. I spent $130-something to get out of it. But that was then, and the money that they're paying today is just a great. I never made that kind of money, so I don't know how you feel, but. Players today, to me, they seem a little arrogant. They don't, slobber. But like I said, it's a fan is a fan, and it's a family thing. And you got to, they're the ones that pay your salary. They used to pay your salary. Today, I guess television, somebody else paying. But still, it costs a fan a lot of money to attend a ball game. You take a family with a couple of kids, and you go down. That night, he's better have $100 in his pocket for tickets and kind of all the soda. What, it's $2.53 for a soda. And the same soda they bought for 20-some cents a can, I guess. But this would be the time to play. Another thing, I looked, like last night, I attended the game, and I came downstairs, and before going back into the clubhouse, I would sit out and talk to the youngsters in the hallway down and see some of the young wives coming by. Never have to work a day in their lives. And I was just thinking, I says, a poor wife of mine worked with, taught school for 36 years, and I had to work every winter to make ends meet. And the kind of money they're throwing around now, it's nothing. If you're not making, if you're playing, you've been in the league 3 or 4 years, and you're not making $2 million, you're not making any money. Because that's the average salary is over $2 million a year. And that is not to be sneezed at.
So did you enjoy playing with the Orioles or the Cardinals more? And why?
No, I was the Orioles. I was the Oriole all the way. The Cardinals, I was just over there at the 1 year, and that was it. But I came up in the Oriole organization, which were the St. Louis Browns Orioles 1954. St. Louis moved here. But all of the players that... that grew up in the organization, I knew, like a Brooks Robinson and Lou Powell and and all those guys. I was ahead of Jim Palmer and all of them. I never played with Jim. But all these guys came through the Ripken, you know, the Oriole way. Ripken didn't invent the Oriole way. Cal Senior didn't invent that. I was there when he got there. The first day I saw him in spring training, I said, no way this little guy can be a catcher. Somebody going to barrel over. But he was a hard-nosed guy, you know. Sometimes you're not physically fit to play. Maybe a football player, just a little small guy. But he has to have something in here, you know. And he had a lot of that in him. That's the way we were in the organization. In the day, it hurt to see the organization going down so far. And this was a great organization to play for. And they never paid a lot of money, but it was just a big family, and you could get things accomplished. But today, in bad shape.
Did you enjoy being a player or a coach more?
Well, I enjoyed playing. Being a coach, let me see, baseball, let me lay it out this way to you. Let's separate baseball two ways, mentally and physically. When you're young and you're playing, you don't even think about the mental part of it. On the physical, you got all the attributes and everything are there. When you get older, and like when I was old and I was coaching, things I would like to do, I couldn't do any longer physically, but mentally I had caught up and I know how to do it. Now I'm a better teacher of baseball today than I was when I played, because I've seen all these things and I've experienced a lot of things. And for the young person that's coming up today, there's so many, even you teach baseball differently in school here. You got coaches, other teachers. Nobody ever taught me anything, how to throw a ball, how to hold a bat, what to hit, what to look for. All those things are very important, because baseball is a hard game to play. People may not believe that. Baseball is very, very difficult to play, and the reason it's so hard to play is the hitting part of it. Now, how many of you are good math students here? Any math students? Do you know that if I played 10, 12, 15 years in the big leagues and I hit 300, what would you say about me? A good hitter, right? To hit 300, what percentage of the time have I failed? 70% of the time you fail. The next time you have an exam and there's 100 the top score, you make 30 on it and see what happens. Okay? With baseball, you can do that. Basketball, you can't do it. If Michael Jordan had shot 30% from the floor in all the years he played, he wouldn't have been a Michael Jordan. He'd been gone. You know what I mean? And the same thing, a pro football quarterback, he got to complete more than 30% of them passes on Sundays, or he's not going to be there. But baseball, I can perform at 30% with that bat in my hand. Oh, can he ever hit? Because it is very, very hard to stand up at that plate 6 feet, 6 inches from that pitcher with that little round ball in his hand. He's throwing 90-plus miles an hour. And you have to pick out the good one to hit, take the bad one, and get out the way if it's at you, because that ball is very hard and it will hurt you. Right. So that's what makes this game so hard to play. The toughest pitchers? Every one of them was tough. But I'll tell you, pitchers that I never had any success against was Whitey Ford. If you told me that Juan Marichal was outside warming up the pitcher, I'd run out here right now with my bat. I hit against him like 28 times. I got one hit. But he's the type of pitcher, you throw the ball, look like a basketball coming up there, and all of a sudden it disappears. Something, I don't know what it is. Then you got other pitchers, the great pitchers, a lot of guys can hit. I had good luck off with Sandy Koufax. Good luck off. He threw three pitches, and all three of them were, they were excellent pitches. His fastball was like 94 miles an hour with a hop on it, about like coming and jump. And his overhand curveball looked like a fastball coming and stop it, go straight down. And his changeup looked like it's going back to him. So he's coming back, all I'm throwing from up here. But I had good luck off him. He would throw me a changeup, and I always hit changeup. And I used to see him, you know, like we played winter ball, or we stayed in the same hotel. I said, and he was just throwing the ball too hard. I said, you're going to throw the ball by somebody. But I just wanted him to keep throwing them changeups. You got to, you know, baby, you got to take care of those pitches. You got to throw them a little bit. Okay.
If you got to change, like, one thing about your baseball career, what would it be?
I think I would be a little smarter. Probably would have made some wiser decisions than I made. And I would like to change from that era to this time when the money was more prominent. I'd like to play now and make about 3 or 4 years, and I would see you somewhere on a nice beach. And come visit me at my cabana. But that was the only thing I would change. I had a lot of fun because, you know, growing up, I grew up in a neighborhood with quite a few boys. And all of them had fathers except me. My father died 2 weeks before I was born, like the 17th of July. I was born the 31st of July. And it was just my mother and I. We paddled around in a lot of places together, the beach in the summertime, and all of the great movies I can remember. Movies like Gone with the Wind. I saw that with my, you may have heard of it, but you don't know anything about Gone with the Wind. How Green Was My Valley, Wuthering Heights. I saw all those with my mom. And you just, you know, being, and you didn't think about it then, but I thought about it so often after, you know, growing up. You got to be as good as those guys. You know, everybody's trying to be. We played sports in season. We only had four major sports in those days. There's soccer and lacrosse and stuff you guys play today, or tennis and golf. We didn't have that. We only had track, football, basketball, baseball in school. No swimming team. We didn't have a pool in the school. So that was the that's a big difference to today than it was yesterday, you might say.
If you could change anything about baseball today, what would you change?
I would change the attitude of the players. Some of the general managers need to be at home somewhere. I think a salary cap would be the greatest thing in the world for baseball. I'll definitely put that in because it's getting ridiculous. This past season, the past winter, owners must have gotten together and we're going to stand pat. We're not going to sign, you know, not going to throw all that money away. But then you look over at Philadelphia, you know, Boston and the Yankees, you know, they got the nose turned up with the other team. Stein been spending all kind of money. But I would be the main thing I think I would change. Bring in a salary cap in there and then kind of make things equal because I think football has a great deal. No one team is going to be dominant year after year after year like it was at one time. Like the Ravens won and they lost all those players. And this year they should have another good team because they're under the salary cap and they got some money to spend, so they're going to bring some people in that they could really use. See, they lost the entire, defensive line last year. And your best two pass receivers gone, went out of here. But they're going to bring some people in this year. So that would be the main thing. I think salary cap would be a great thing to have in baseball.
All right, we can open up questions to the rest of the class if you guys want. If anybody has any questions for Mr. Durham.
Yes, ma'am.
Who's your favorite player?
My favorite player today? That's a very, very, very hard question. I like players that I've worked with in the past, I think, would be my favorite. A lot of people don't particularly like Mike Mussina, but I had Mike on my team in 1990 when I was at Hagerstown coaching there. And some of the players that we played against, I like Jim Thome. I think he's you haven't forgotten, you know. when he comes into the stadium, like downtown last year with Cleveland, and he would see me sitting over in the dugout, he'd make his business and come over to speak to me and ask me, how am I doing, you know, how's the family? He doesn't know my family, never seen my family. You know, will I have a family or not? But one of my favorites. That's today. I do have a lot of past favorites. Yes. Baseball?
Yeah.
It's a real rough job to play. The mental part of it is would be the worst part, because we talked about how hard hitting is, and you're going to have slumps. You're definitely going to have slumps. But if you take that slump from the ballpark back to the hotel or home with you, several things may happen. A lot of players are back in my day, and more so became alcoholics because of the hitting part of the baseball. And we just didn't have, you know, we just didn't have everything that the fellows have today out there. I mean, all kind of protection they got for hitting. Going up to hit today, you can't throw too close to guys inside anymore. When I played, we didn't have anything but this cloth cap on your head. And that little bird up there, sometimes the guy would take target practice at that bird for pitching, you know, knock you down, and don't let nobody hit a home run in front of you. You got to go down. Why do you hit him? You don't want to hit me, but that's the way it is. Yes? That's why I talked about the salary cap. I think it should come down. You know, $25 million a year for any one individual. The guy's good. He probably tops in his field, his position today. But $25 million, you know, whole three or four ball clubs didn't make that much. The entire club. But the assignment is a different animal. Believe me. Sorry, George. But if he wants something, he goes out and get it. It's a little different here in Baltimore. We need people in certain positions, but in the last couple of 3 years, we haven't gone out to get these players. And the only way is to try to entice people to come here. Yeah, so the top athlete doesn't want to come here to play baseball anymore. I don't know why. Lovely place to play. Steamed crabs, crab cakes, and all those things. Yeah, they should be jumping at the opportunity to come here. Yes? I was on a tour. It was the Jackie Robinson All-Stars. I just had played my first year in the minors, and one of my buddies in my hometown was in the Army at the time, stationed in the Army. It was Willie Mays, and Jack had asked him to join him on the tour. Now, he asked me to help him drive down to Birmingham. One of the first game was in Birmingham, Alabama. So we went down to Birmingham, and the team they were playing against were short of an outfielder. And Mays, he can play, so I got a uniform and I played. So I played in Birmingham that night, on Sunday afternoon. We started in Birmingham. And our cut for each man that night was $714. Whew, I never seen that kind of money in one game. So the next night we went to Atlanta, another $650. Then from Atlanta to Nashville, five something, and then I had to leave Nashville and catch the train and come back home. I couldn't complete the tour because the guy who they were looking for finally came in. But that was the only time that I had any close dealings with Jackie Robinson, because we were all stayed in the same hotel and we all ate together, and you know, just a lot of fun. You know.
was it like when the Orioles were just getting started? In some ways, they were, you know, kind of punched around by the rest of the league and just getting their feet underneath and everything. What was it like, with, for example, with Paul Richards and
well, they got started a little before Paul Richards came here, but it was just a makeshift team. They had to get players from all over the place, you know, to try to make a team. You look at the 1954 record, which was, they played 154 games. They won 54 and lost 100. Then Mr. Richards came in. Now, I have never said anything good about Mr. Richards. And he's gone today, but I still don't have anything good to say about him. I think he was one of the worst kind of individuals that you could ever meet. He was bad. Didn't give you anything. He wanted to be king. And you couldn't say anything. Nobody would ever confront him. I confronted him one Saturday in Kansas City. And we had a nice little talk. I knew from then on I wasn't going to play too long for him. But, you know, he smiled. Oh, you'll be here. And, yeah. But you just couldn't trust him. You couldn't trust him. I come out of the Army. Went to spring training. I led the club in spring training and hitting, doing well. And the day before we broke camp, it cut down to everybody coming out of me, and I was the last guy. And he said, I'm going to send you to San Antonio. I said, San Antonio? I said, I played San Antonio before. He says, well, he said, I'm just going to send you down for a couple of weeks, and you go down and maybe hitting, I'll bring you back in a couple of weeks. Just make a little move here. So I go down to San Antonio, and I get recalled June 10th. And we opened the season in April. I got recalled June 10th. I was only hitting 391 when they recalled me. That 2 weeks, if he had called me back in 2 weeks, I was hitting like 424. And I did everything, you know, runs batted in. I did everything, you know, they asked of. And they get back up in, they start the platooning stuff. Sit on the bench for 8 days and didn't play. You going to New York, and there's Whitey Ford out there waiting for you. And he just looked like he tried to embarrass. You know, certain players, he just got to the point where he tried to embarrass. Right? So it was a struggle. I mean, it was hard for them to start operating like a team should and start winning some ball games. And they did that after he left here. After he left here, he brought in Hank Bauer and those guys, they started winning. Then Weaver and right through, you know, the rest of it. So now it looks like we're going back to where we used to be. Okay.
What kind of things did you do off the field while you were playing baseball? Did you play any teammates?
When I was off the, when I was playing and doing the off season?
Just like after a game, I think you hang out with teammates.
Oh, well, in those days, you would, you always got three or four guys to pal around together. And number one thing, you got to find something to eat after the night game in New York, Chicago, wherever. It's just different today. You don't have to do that. In the afternoon movie, we always took them to 1 o'clock show and came out of the movie, a little snack or something to eat, and to the ballpark. Back that night, restaurant. Oh, we may have a nice little club we went into. That those days are a little different than it is today. You can't do the things that we did, like a night game, say 11, 12 o'clock in these big cities today. You can't go downtown to these clubs because money is the number one thing. And once you get in, and a lot of people know that these guys, these are baseball players over here or whatever, and they're going to try to find some way to get that money. See, you read the paper every other day, somebody's being sued for such and such a thing, harassment or this or that. Because a lot of times the guys are not guilty, but you can't go. You just can't hang out the night at night like we did because everything was nice and mild. See, they have full-course meals in the clubhouse after the game. Now, we didn't have that. Yes, sir. My favorite city? I like Detroit. I always liked Detroit. I guess it was a nice ballpark to hit in. And I always liked the hotel in Detroit. The name had a little ring, Sheridan Cadillac. That sounds real good. And I had a lot of people I knew that had moved to Detroit and worked for General Motors and the Ford people. So I always had a nice time. And I had a lot of relatives also lived in that area. And I was always very fond of Detroit. Yankee Stadium, I mean, New York, is a place to go and get out. Never liked that. I was told by one of the veterans on the ball club, says, we stayed down at the Commodore Hotel, 42nd and Lexington, and the trains, we just walk downstairs and catch the train right to Yankee Stadium. He said, be very careful because you have a lot of pickpockets on the train, and be careful, you know, make sure you got your wallet secured. And so we were riding up, and we got off at 161st, and he gets on, and a breath of air hit him in the back. Somebody cut his whole pocket out and took his wallet. And he's telling me to be careful, but I've got to guide him. So he is always, you got to be careful. New York is not a place to hang out. I mean, you get in, get out. That's New York. And L.A. is too big for me. I'm a small town man. You know, Baltimore's nice size. Washington, nice size. Philadelphia's too. They got the worst fans in the world in Philadelphia. They don't think anything about throwing a bottle from up a deck and hitting somebody. They were the ones that used to sell sodas in the ballpark in bottles. Philadelphia broke them out of that habit. So they put them in a paper cup. Yes. I went to a very small historical black institution at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. I wanted to go to Hampton, but Hampton was like, they didn't have a baseball team for one thing, and Hampton also was, they didn't let everybody in Hampton at that time. Hampton was like Yale or Harvard to the black institution in those days. They had Hampton, Howard, Tuskegee. They were top-notch universities. I don't think I could have gotten into Hampton anyway. But they wanted me to come down. I said, no, I want to play football and basketball. So I went down to Shaw. Thank you very much, and Sir Gregor holding those pictures up there. You guys got about $10,000 in your pocket this morning, those pictures. You couldn't get 10 cents for one of those. But it has been a lot of fun here, and you guys are very, I'm sorry everybody didn't have a question. A couple of guys in here look like I know this fellow here from somewhere. What's your last name? Williams. Huh? Your dad? Who's your dad? Who? Oh, yeah. That's what I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tallest folks, six or seven guys in the back, please.
Okay.